Thank you, everyone. Welcome. There's been a message on my heart for a few weeks now, and when I knew that I was speaking tonight, I was quite excited because there's so many things going on that God is doing in my life, and I'm seeing Him doing others as well. And one of them, like Joel just said, is I'm an artist, and that's a new thing. That's part of the new wine that God's pouring out in my life and in my heart. And going deep with Him in awakening. So I spoke the last time here about abiding, and from that place of abiding is where I feel all of this has come from, and which I think is a word for everybody. The more that we spend time with Him is where He gives us everything that we need, even the things we didn't know we needed for the next things that are coming. So it's just ended up being it's really interesting, you know, God and His numbers and His timing and His words, it all just sort of collides together, and all of a sudden you have this awakening of, oh, that's what you're doing. So 9 months ago, I took a step of faith without any funds, but believing that this is the path that God wanted me to take, and applied for the Gold Coast School of Supernatural Ministry, which is a Bethel hub school plan. It's a new thing that they're doing, keeping people in the nation so that they can be serving in their church rather than going for years and, you know, leaving the church in a lot of cases. And so that idea really appealed to me because I really feel like I've got a heart for Australia, and I had no desire to travel anywhere then. And in 9 months, God has, just like in a pregnancy, started to grow things inside me, started to plant things in me, or really more so awaken things that were deep desires that were hidden from childhood. And art is one of them. And being a creative, like a lot of creatives will tell you, it's something that gets squashed quite early on occasionally, depending on who's around to foster those thoughts and desires. And I was always naturally driven in school, and then therefore I was pushed towards academic pursuits, which I did quite well at, but I never had the joy that I had when I was able to write poetry or do creative writing or to paint. But those things weren't looked upon as things that you will make a living out of or things that are going to be of any value. God's story is completely different, can I tell you that? He is a God of creation. He is the creator. And He has designed each and every one of us to be creative. And during this journey and coming across prophetic artists and starting to see how God speaks in this creative way started to ignite a passion in me. And I kept denying it, going, you know, can't do that. I'm not an artist. Those things don't get you anywhere. But in the kingdom, they get you everywhere. Things open up when you start to pursue God. And He planted this Psalm 37:4. It was a prophetic word was spoken over me. And then for the next week, I saw Psalm 37:4 everywhere. It popped up in books. It popped up in journals. It popped up in things on Facebook. And I just thought, okay, Lord, I'm listening. And of course, that's the scripture that says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And that was a really interesting question. I sat with it for a while. I prayed about it. I went into deep thought about it and thought, I don't even know what the desires of my heart are. I've had all sorts of things go on in my life that have knocked the wind out of my sails, kept me down, trodden, kept me in a place to go, all those things are for somebody else, they're not for me. And God kept saying, no, they're for you. I've got this for you. And even as Jess spoke this morning about the jigsaw puzzle, and that we are all a piece. You know, every church is a piece of the plan of the kingdom, but every person within the church and every person in the world, because He desires that none should perish. So He's after everyone. And our job is to grab those people and let them know who they are and why they're needed and what peace they have. And doing this school has allowed me to find out who I am and what I can bring and what more that He has for me. And so the journey has begun as initially I was considered an emerging artist, but now everybody tells me, no, you're not emerging, you've come out. The butterfly wings are out and the painting has begun. So this painting I just felt God wanted me to bring tonight and release over everyone in the church, because it was painted in at Living Streams Apostolic Centre on the 4th of November, which was a couple of weeks before Awakening. And there were some excellent preachers that came there, Bruce and Cheryl Lindley, and they have a real evangelical heart to release the awakening over the Sunshine Coast and over Australia and over the globe. And I had no idea that they were coming or what any of the preaching was about. I just knew the worship music for the week and was sort of marinating in that for the whole week. And it was a lot about Holy Spirit wanting to move. And so as with a prophetic worship artist, you come on the platform with your paints, with your tools, and then just believe that Holy Spirit will turn up and tell you what's going to happen next. So this painting just started to flow, and it was all in worship. So the worship was wild. It was just an amazing thing. There was a whole drumbeat thing happening where the heart of the Father was just being poured out. And I've already painted these hearts coming out of this woman. So what God showed me afterwards, what this was all about, was this is what he's asking. He just wants a surrendered heart. When we have our arms in praise, when we give him everything of worship, when the praise ever be on our lips, as we sang this morning, his heart is for us, and it's for everyone, not just us in the church. And this was just I really believe that this was him saying, I want you to wake up so that I can pour my heart into you so that you can then pour out into others. And as the music just swept me up into that whole moment, and he took me onto a place where he took me right out into the middle of the desert, and I'm thinking, why are we going out here, Lord? And as I'm painting the desert, he was like saying, it's the red dirt. So I really felt that he was really talking about Australia. He just wanted us to come out of hiding, to come out and to bring everything that he's deposited in us for such a time as this. And then there was this whole spirit, this whole wind of the spirit just kept swirling. I felt it swirling around me. I felt it swirling in the room. And that's how the swirls came on the board. And I asked him, what was that about, God? What was the swirling about? What is this wind of the spirit that you're doing? What is this moving? And he was telling me that this was the updraft. Like, he has the updraft under each and every one of us. We actually don't have to carry anything. Like he says, his load is light, his burden is light. So give everything to him. Surrender your hearts, surrender your praise, sacrifice your body. Everything is for him. And when I wasn't really 100% sure what I was releasing tonight, because it had chopped and changed through the week, I asked him as I left church this morning and said, so what is it, God, that you want to speak to tonight? And really clearly, I got two confirmations, like within minutes of each other. And it was the 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. I'll just find it here. And he just wanted to release that over everyone today. Where is it? Let's go here. And so as we sit with him, he gives us everything that we need. And every burden that we have, he wants us to lay down, just like he laid down his life for us. I'll just find this. So 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says this. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of Holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God. And I really felt that this was just another scripture that he's given to me again. This painting just keeps speaking to me over and over. Every time I sit with it and look at it, God speaks some more. And so coming back from awakening, in awakening, there was a moment in awakening where this clarity of the unity that he was pushing, this move of God that's going on at the moment, I was on a tram. And the whole trip to Melbourne was a step of faith for me, because I had a lot of fear about travelling on my own or going anywhere, hence there was never any plea, please God, give me the nations. I was quite happy just to stay at home and not go anywhere too far. So this has been a big leap of faith, and I found that there was a strength and a purpose in this painting as well, because it gave me an excitement that with the Holy Spirit while he's the updraft, he's always going to catch me whenever I leap out in faith. And so he was showing me through this that even in the yellow of the dress of the lady, that it means purification in the Bible. It was biblical. I looked it up. So that yellow sort of means a purification process. It's going through the fire. And my life has really looked like going through the fire a lot, in particularly in the last 3 to 4 years. And it's like I'm coming out of the wilderness. I'm out of Australia. There's movement at the station. It's time to just take that leap of faith and know that he has my updraft, but he's also got me in the safety net. And I had all of this going on, and I'd shared this with a few people that I'd met at Awakening as well. And I just was sitting on this tram, and there was this moment where I just felt the Lord's heart for people, the compassion of the Lord, just seeing these people with these faces, with empty eyes and no real joy, and sitting in train stations and the tram stops and just on their phones staring on the trams, looking around with things in their ears, and you try to hello and engage them and they're just, there's blank, there's just no life. And my heart was just so grieved, and I'm thinking, I'm on this journey, I'm on this tram, and I know where I'm going, and like in that same place, I know where the end of this road is, as we're off to eternity. But we're on this train and we can't not look out the window or look at those around us and go, hey, do you know that there's more? Do you really know that there's more, that there's joy, that there's happiness, there's everything that you've dreamed and desired, and God has that for you and God loves you? And never having really been one to step out and start the conversation, I'm really good when it gets going, but I don't like to start them. And all of a sudden I realised that I can't anymore stand in a place beside somebody in a line, be in a shopping centre, be on a tram, be in a taxi. The poor Uber drivers, they all had to listen to our joy and our excitement. And I took plenty of Uber drivers because I wasn't prepared to walk anywhere on my own. And there was just such a joy in just sharing them. And actually, like everyone said, there's this openness, there's this hunger that there's got to be more. And all we have to do is say hi and get the conversation started. And so I had this moment where I thought, I have to do more than even this. And so on the Monday after the conference had ended, I was invited down to St Kilda. And it was just a day off and before the plane, hoping that we could get there for the baptisms, which was really exciting. The number of people that ran forward and then wanted to give their life to Jesus and then the next day have these baptisms was amazing. And I was with this guy that had been in St Kilda when he was a drug dealer and was about to overdose, and God, he called out to God and God saved him. And he wanted to go down there and just check out the scene. And his presence... his perception was everything had changed from when he had been in that place. The darkness of that area had lifted. There was a freedom over the place. And it really was like, even for me, an answered prayer. A North Queensland girl, loved the heat. It was like the hottest day of the weekend. It was like 32 degrees and no jumpers required. It was hot and it was awesome. But there was just this openness of the heavens were open. God was pleased. He was happy that people were out and about, and even walking about, we ran into other people that were from Awakening, you know, were stepping out in faith and saying, hi, do you know Jesus? And they go, yeah, we know Jesus. And so even that, it encouraged each other. And there was a moment on Sunday morning where we had the all the different denominations were speaking at the Sunday morning. And Catherine, I won't try and say her last name, she really impressed me in that her fire for us as Christians needing to up our game and be known for our love. Because, you know, we've got a bit of a bad rap going on in the world. People think we're bigoted and hated and that we hate everything and that we're racist and all the rest of it. And really we are called to just love everybody no matter where they are or what their journey is. And she sang this song, which was a hymn. And it was, you know, they will know us by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And I just thought, really, that is the theme of the whole Awakening event, that we would start to love one another within the church and then without, out into the community, and that God's love is all that we need. And seriously, it doesn't even take a conversation. Just a look, just a smile, just a hug If you see somebody crying, you know, we don't have to have the answers and we don't have to save anyone. He just asks us to give all that burden to him, and he asks us to pray, and that brings unity. And it was just the most amazing thing to be in the middle of worship of 10,000, 15,000 people. And of course, I was right in the front in the mosh pit. Are we allowed to call it a mosh pit? Well, it was a mosh pit. We made it a mosh pit. And there was just something about that many people from all denominations all just singing and praising and giving glory to God. It's not like anything I've ever experienced before, but it's something I want more of and more of and more of. And so I just encourage you all that if you have any desires that are unfulfilled, God wants to raise them all up. He wants you to have everything that you ever dreamed of, every thought, every desire, every love that you've had since childhood to now. Nothing is waiting, and everything is on the shelf just waiting for you to go enter in and say, God, I'm ready. God, I want the next thing. What's the next thing? And so coming home from awakening, and this was sitting up in my room again, I walked in, I went, oh my gosh, it's speaking to me again. And I'd had this thought about how do I go to the nations if I don't really feel like I've got the bravery to do that? Well, God changed all that at awakening and has given me a new sense of boldness and bravery, to the point that I came home and I really felt that my first call from the commissioning that Heidi Baker did was I had a call to Australia. And I've often listened to the people that come through our church talking about the outback and talking about the Aboriginal people and the great south land of the Holy Spirit, and it's always stirred me. But I've always thought, oh, I can't do that. It's not for me. I don't know how I go or where I to start. And I got back home and I was talking to a friend, and she'd just seen a post of Iris Ministries, Outback, Alice Springs. And I went, oh, that sounds so interesting. I'd really like to look at that. And then the next day I was booked on a plane and I've joined in for Iris Ministries, Alice Springs, and the training and the equipping will begin. So this time I did take a friend though, because I was a little bit scared to do that on my own. But I reckon if she'd said no, I would have gone anyway, because there's such a call on my heart that there are people out there that need to hear and know Jesus. And we're it. We carry everything that we need, and anything that we think we don't have, He will deposit if we ask for it. So I just encourage you that if God's placed a dream on your heart, or if He's given you some excitement, or if when you hear about a nation or a people group or something that makes you think, I really love that, or I love that people, now's the time. There's no better time than now, when we have an open heaven, when we have a God on the move, when we have churches coming together in unity like never before. And it's all about love. It's all about His love for us and our love for each other. And that's all I wanted now, be able to go out and tell everybody I meet without bashing them over the head with the Bible, obviously. But that if we have that in our heart, if we have this surrendered heart and that passion, He fills it up and He gives everything you need to just pour it out. So that's pretty much everything He wanted to say tonight, except that John 12, that was the thing that came today this morning. John 12, 23 to 26, which is just, John 12 has been amazing. I can't get out of it at the moment. So there, yep. So this is written to the true seekers. He replied to them, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because of one grain dying. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life, but the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me, and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favour upon your life. Even though I am torn within and my soul is in turmoil, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial. for I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God. And God really spoke to me when I read that, because that's the sacrifice that he made for us. He made that for us so that we could multiply what he couldn't do on his own on this earth. And he has given it to us to then fulfill it. He needs us to co-labor, to co-partner. Without us, he can't make the move that he wants to move. And he really impressed upon how we often we denigrate ourselves and him by saying, oh, it's not me, it's just God. But the thing is, he's asked us to be our hands and our feet. He is within us and we are in him. So we need to take that step and go, God, where would you have us go? What would you have us do? He is inside of us and he has given us a call to go out, to feed the poor, to look after the orphans and the widows, and we have everything we need to do that. So I just urge you to like get into the word and see what he has to speak to you. And he says here, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it through you again. That's his promise to us. He's called us to just come, surrender everything that feels like pain and trauma, whatever. He can heal. He wants to heal. He's done that for Pearl. He'll do it for you. I had healing while I was down there as well, and I'm believing for a brand new hip. And however he wants to do that, I don't really care, but I'm getting a new hip. And that's part of birth trauma that needs to be resolved so that I can fulfill his purpose and plan for me. And I'm off all painkillers. I've got more movement, and it's only a matter of time for the moment that he wants to actually complete that promise. So I just encourage you, surrender your hearts, keep your praise on your lips, and he will forever keep his promises to you.
Sweetheart, that was good. We had a testimony this morning on video that Tim and Janelle's boy, what's his name, the boy's name?
Elijah
shared. Tim is over in Uganda with the YWAM team right now, being part of something amazing as they run crusades over there and church plants and medical missions and handing out Bibles. It's wonderful what's going on. But Elijah sent his dad a video where he basically said, God told me that Satan's lies, the devil's lies, are like a strawberry. And that got everybody's attention, because you're going, where is he going to go with this? But he said, and then praise, when we sing Christian songs, that's like a knife. And you know how like a knife cuts through a strawberry? Well, that's what praise does, you know? So it left us with this vision this morning as we're worshiping God that we're all about making fruit salad. And turning the enemy's strategies into something that are glorious to God and beneficial to us and frustrating to him, because we slice through his intentions with worship. And so I love when Julie says, and Pearl, you said that too, you rejected disappointment. Yeah, or the prospect of disappointment. Just cut that off in Jesus' name. We got to learn to live like that. Got to learn to live like that, because we've trained ourselves, haven't we, to approach God with a little disappointment in reserve so that we're not too blown away when it doesn't pan out the way we think we want it to pan. You know, we really have this fail-safe with God that does him such dishonor, and at the end of the day, disempowers our faith and really ties the hands of God, because we're not coming in faith. So God, by your grace, just help us do better with this. Help us be true sons and daughters as we continue this amazing journey and see more of you. You know, I was really frustrated with Catherine, because she sang the song wrong. Any boomer like me that grew up singing They'll Know We Are Christians By Our Love, she kept leaving a line out. It was that frustrating. But you know, this is amazing. How many of you actually sang that song when you were younger? Just a few of you remember the song, you know? She kept leaving out, how's it start? We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity will this day be restored. She kept leaving that out. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. I mean, there are a lot of variations on that, little lines that we throw in. Basically, that's the song. And I'm thinking, wow, we didn't even know it in the 60s and 70s when we sang that song into the ground at youth groups and gatherings. We were dispensing grace for today. And we pray that a unity will one day be restored. And the reality is, when you, you know, when Julie reminds us, and we've experienced this, all the different denominations coming together, that almost doesn't even resonate with me anymore, because the denominations really, they don't carry banners anymore. And when we come together, like we, you know, happened in Awakening, or we do wherever we're gathering, whether it's Caloundra or wherever, we're not aware of denominations coming together. We're going, ooh, the denominations are getting together. It's just the kingdom. It's just the body of Christ. And that is a consequence of the grace dispensed by the faithful prayers of those that have gone before us. So, Father, we thank you. We pray, make us faithful to all that was poured into and poured out in the decades that have preceded us, Lord God. We are recipients of great grace today, Lord God, so let us be found faithful. And let us be found faithful this week as we go out to share your love with a world in desperate need of hope. So make us messengers of hope this week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Julie. Why don't you thank Julie one more time, guys. Thank you all for coming. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.